This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. 24 Pentecost Sunday C, Variable. First posted November 7, 2010, Exodus 34:5-9. God revealed to Moses, Psalm 145 extolling God's character, to Thessalonians 1:1-5, 11-12 glorify God, Luke 19:1-10 Zacchaeus, Exodus background, the Israelites had broken the covenant with God by reverting to idolatry while Moses was with God on the mountain. Horeb, Sinai, for 40 days, Exodus 31:18-32:6. Moses interceded for the Israelites to be forgiven and to renew the covenant with God, Exodus 32:7-20. Moses asked God to reveal himself to Moses, Exodus 33:14-23. Then Moses returned to Mount Sinai with two new stone tablets to renew the covenant, Exodus 34:1-4. Exodus paraphrase, the Lord descended in a cloud and stood with Moses on the mountaintop and proclaimed the name, the whole person and character, of the Lord, a gracious and merciful God, slow to get angry, whose overflowing love and faithfulness are steady and unwavering, willing to forgive sin, disobedience, of God's word, transgression, violation of God's law, and iniquity, injustice. Nevertheless, God will not leave the guilty unpunished. He will punish the iniquity of the fathers upon their children to the third and fourth generation. Moses bowed his head and worshipped the Lord, and asked, if Moses had found favor with the Lord, had the Lord come among his people, the Israelites, although they were a stubborn and prideful people. Moses asked the Lord to forgive the injustice and disobedience of God's people and make them the heritage of the Lord. Psalm 145 paraphrase, let us exalt the Lord our God and King, let us bless and praise His name every day. The Lord is great, even beyond our understanding, and is worthy of great praise. Let one generation declare and praise God's works to another. Let us remember and meditate on the majestic splendor and wondrous acts of the Lord. Let the people declare the power of the Lord's awesome works, let us praise His greatness. God's people should loudly proclaim His reputation of His abundant goodness and righteousness. The steadfast love, mercy and grace of the Lord is abundant and overflowing. The Lord is good and compassionate to all that He has created. All whom the Lord has made will give Him thanks, and all those who are consecrated to His service, i.e., His saints, shall bless Him. They will testify to His power and the glory of His kingdom, so that all humans may know His mighty acts and His splendor of His kingdom. His kingdom is eternal, and He will reign eternally throughout all generations. Faithful and gracious are the words and acts of the Lord, and will be glorified by all those who are dedicated to serving Him. Those who stumble, the Lord will uphold, and He will lift up the spirits of those who are discouraged. All depend on the Lord to provide their food at the appropriate time. The Lord satisfies the needs of every living thing. All of the Lord's ways and deeds are just and kind. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth, Psalm 145 minutes and 18 seconds. The longings of all who fear, have appropriate awe and respect for the authority and power of the Lord, He will fulfill. He will hear their cries and save them. The Lord will preserve all who love Him, but He will destroy the wicked, those who are evil in principle or practice. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever, Psalm 145 minutes and 21 seconds. To Thessalonians paraphrase, Silvanus, Silas, and Timothy had been colleagues in Paul's second missionary journey, during which they founded the church at Thessalonica, the capital of Macedonia. It was one of the first three churches planted in Europe. Paul greeted the church with the conventional salutations of Greek and Hebrew respectively, grace and peace, which are only truly possible through God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul rejoiced and gave thanks to God for the Thessalonians' growing and abounding faith and love among their brethren. The Thessalonian congregation continued to experience severe persecution by the local Jewish synagogue, see Acts 17:1-11, who regarded the Christian church as a heretical sect. So Paul, read about the steadfastness and faith of the Thessalonian congregation amidst persecution and affliction. Paul considered their tribulations evidence of God's righteous judgment, so that the Thessalonian Christians were being made worthy of God's eternal kingdom through their suffering. Compare Hebrews 12:1-14. So Paul prayed for the Thessalonian Christians that God would make them worthy of his calling, that God would fulfill their good resolve and works of faith by his power, his Holy Spirit working within them by their spiritual rebirth, John 3:3-5-8, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they would be glorified in the Lord by the grace, unmerited favor, of God and Jesus Christ. Luke paraphrase, Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, where he knew that he was going to be crucified, accompanied by his disciples and a large crowd. As he approached Jericho, east and slightly north of Jerusalem, perhaps 13 miles, in a straight line, a chief tax collector in Jericho, named Zacchaeus, wanted to see Jesus as he passed by, but because Zacchaeus was short in stature, he could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed into sycamine, mulberry, so that he could get a better look at Jesus as he went by. When Jesus came by, he looked up into the tree and called Zacchaeus by name, saying that Jesus needed to be the guest at the home of Zacchaeus that day. Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed Jesus. The people in the crowd were amazed that Jesus would have fellowship with a person they regarded as a sinner. Zacchaeus told Jesus that he would give half of his possessions to the poor and would repay 4 times the amount to anyone he had cheated. Jesus declared that salvation had come that day to Zacchaeus' household, since Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham, regardless of his former behavior, because Jesus had come to seek and save those who were spiritually lost and headed to eternal destruction because of their sin. Themes: knowing God, praising and glorifying God, seeing God. Commentary: I am convinced that the meaning and purpose of life is to seek and come to know and have a personal relationship with God, our Creator, Acts 17:26-27. Then we will know by personal experience His character, power, faithfulness and saving acts. New believers and seekers can first know the Lord through the testimony of others, recorded in the Bible, and by the testimony of truly born again, Christians 3:3-5-8. Moses asked God to reveal himself to him. As we trust in God's word in the Bible, the Lord will reveal himself to us personally, also. If we earnestly seek him with the commitment to trust and obey him, we will come to know the Lord personally. We will no longer have to rely on the testimony of others, we will know with certainty for ourselves. I personally testify that the Lord has revealed himself to me through his word in the Bible, in devotional meditation with prayer, and in daily personal experiences of his fulfillment of his promises. See personal testimonies, sidebar, top right, home. When I first began to seek the presence of the Lord, I didn't know any psalm by reference except the 23rd. As the Lord began to reveal himself to me, he asked me to do something I considered risky in worldly terms. A thought came into my mind to look up Psalm 91, which contained great reassurance that the Lord was able and faithful to protect me from harm. I was like Ananias, Acts 9:10-17, and asked the Lord who it was who was leading me. The Lord replied that it was the Lord and giver of life, the Holy Spirit, as defined in the third article of the Nicene Creed. This identification was uniquely meaningful to me personally, because of my background in a liturgical, i.e. following a formal ritual of public worship church. The Lord can reveal himself to others in a way that is uniquely personally meaningful to them. The psalmist urges one generation to praise their personal experience of the Lord's faithfulness and powerful acts to another. One must first have a personal relationship with the Lord through the baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a personally discernible, ongoing, daily experience, Acts 19:2. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life, to Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13-14, Romans 8:9b, 11, 15-16. Unfortunately, the nominal church is failing to make born-again disciples, students, and apostles, messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without born-again members, the church will not have born-again leaders to choose from their membership. Church members are failing to, and cannot, pass on testimony and praise of God's works to their children or to older generations who have not been spiritually reborn. With a personal relationship with the Lord through the baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we will be able to recall, from personal experience, in times of trouble, the Lord's power and faithfulness. As the Lord demonstrates His power and faithfulness to us personally, our faith will grow from a tiny mustard seed, our yes to trust and obedience to the Lord, into the supernaturally large tree of mature faith. Matthew 14:31-32. We will be able to praise Him to others so that they can trust in Him and be saved. When troubles come, it is hard to remember what the Lord has done for us in the past. I keep a personal log of blessings and answered prayer. When I'm experiencing troubles and discouragement, I can look back on other times that the Lord has delivered me and brought me through. I also review it annually before the Thanksgiving holiday. The Lord is loving and forgiving to all who love, trust and obey Him, but those who refuse or fail to accept His love and forgiveness which He has provided through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross will be eternally condemned and destroyed. Worldly wisdom attributes success and wealth to God's favor, and tribulation to God's disfavor, but that is not so, as Paul testified. Christians can expect it to be hated and persecuted by the world, as the world treated Jesus. Christians who don't experience persecution are failing to carry out their ministry of the gospel. But the ministry of the gospel cannot be carried out by our human strength and resources. We can only fulfill it by the power and resources provided by the baptism of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6, Romans 8:15-17, 1 Corinthians 12:3, Mark 13:11, Luke 12:11-12. Jesus warns that we must be born again before carrying the gospel message to the world. Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4-5, 8. Jesus knew Zacchaeus completely before Zacchaeus met Jesus. Compare John 1:47-50, 4:16-19. The Lord knows all about us, too. Zacchaeus was a sinner disobedient of God's word, even as are we all. Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8-10. Zacchaeus realized that Jesus was the promised Messiah Christ, and repented of his sin. Luke 19:8. All who accept Jesus as Lord, the Messiah, Christ, God's chosen Savior and eternal King, are spiritual sons of Abraham, entitled to the inheritance of God's promise. Romans 8:15-17, Galatians 3:26-29. The Jews considered themselves children of Abraham, but didn't acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, and Jesus called them children of the devil. John 8:42-44. Jesus came to bring forgiveness and eternal salvation to all who acknowledge their sin and spiritual lostness to eternal condemnation and destruction. Jesus cannot help those who consider themselves righteous, doing what is right, good, and true according to God's word. There is a day of judgment coming when everyone who has ever lived in this world will be accountable to the Lord for what they have done in their lifetime. Those who have accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, and have trusted and obeyed Jesus, will have been spiritually reborn in this lifetime, and will enter paradise and eternal life in heaven with all believers. Those who have rejected Jesus as Lord and have refused or failed to trust and obey Jesus will be condemned to eternal death and destruction in hell with all evil. John 5:28-29, Matthew 25:31-46, 2 Thessalonians 1:5-10. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed? Acts 19:2. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-13, Ephesians 1:13-14.